be labeled a service station bailout. And this is far from a service station bailout. This involves, and I would like for the record to give you those percentages of types of businesses that are in the underground tank category. Gasoline stations, 15%. Petroleum distributors, 4%. Air taxi, airlines, 8%. Aircraft owners, 8%. Automotive dealers, 1%. City and borough, 10%. State, 7%. Federal, non-military, 6%. Federal military, 4%. Commercial, 18%. Contractors, 6%. Truckers, 3%. Utilities, 6%. And all others, 4%. As you can see, service stations are only 15% of the people affected. This is not, and I hope this committee will recognize that if anyone tries to label this as a service station bailout, it is not. Going through, on starting on page one of the bill, we feel that the purpose is probably a very, very important part of this bill. And we had hoped that possibly it could have been in more detail. However, we're willing to accept the brevity of it. It does generally cover the purpose and the concerns that are being recognized in the bill. On line 21, I would like to point out where it talks of loan guarantees. I want to bring that up later on page 4. We have some concerns with the loan guarantees. We have no concerns on page 2. On page 3, line 15, item B, the department may distinguish between the sizes, types, classes, and ages of storage tanks in the regulation adopted under A of this section. We have no problem with the paragraph itself, but what concerns us is the words may distinguish. We don't feel that anyone should be able to distinguish. We think that the law should be written to be interpreted as it's written and not leave us up to somebody's whim of the day. Not that that had happened, but it could. We think that a very, very important part of this section on line 20 under C, an advisory panel must include public members and persons who will be governed by the regulation, such as storage tank owners and persons who install, repair, and test the storage tanks. We very much want to be a part of the panel that does develop the regulations after you pass this bill. What you give us in the statutes, that advisory panel could take away, and we would like to be a part of it.
I'm not sure I followed you.
Okay, Mr. Weber. I'm sorry, on page 3?
I'm there, but what... The advisory panel to take away,
when they write the regulations, we're concerned that the regulations be written as carefully and with as much as concern as what we're handling this bill.
So are you saying the advisory panel wouldn't be able to?
Is that no, we want to be included as a part of that advisory panel so that we can be a part of the people writing the regulations, developing the regulations.
It's included there, though.
Yes, that's why I say I'm merely pointing out to the committee that we feel that is a very, very important part of this bill.
Representative Furness, continue, please.
Okay. Line 28, number D, the state may delegate authority to municipalities to implement a program with regulatory requirements substantially equivalent to those of AS 460360 and 460350 and the regulations adopted here under those statutes. We're concerned that if the state gives this authority to the municipalities, we are not then going to be regulated under different conditions. Fairbanks could do something different than Anchorage. Wasilla could do something different than Palmer. Or Matsu Valley could do something different than Anchorage. And in this type of business, it is important that we all have equal treatment. So we are not particularly for that paragraph and like would like to see it come out. On line 3 of page 4, section 4603370, inspections, an above ground or underground petroleum or chemical storage tank regulated under AS 4603360 or 4603450 is subject to inspection by the department to ensure compliance with AS 4603360, 4603450, and the regulations adopted under those sections. Normally, under normal conditions, that would scare a entrepreneur to death. But we accept that as necessary. But we accept it as necessary only if cost of site evaluations remain in Section 9, where it allows for the fund to pay for those site evaluations. Right now, site evaluations are running in the neighborhood of $16,000. It's $600 a hole. A test every foot at $150 a test, and it's costing in the neighborhood of $16,000. I can tell you right now that some small, low-volume businesses, that will be the first thing to break them, that mere $16,000. They're not going to be able to fork that money out of their pocket. So we're for that. If that site evaluation stays in Section 9. That brings us to line 15, loan guarantees. This section is going to be very important to some. It's going to be very unimportant to others. We think it's a delicate situation. We're concerned with, number one, priority, the cost of cleanup. We want to clean our sites up, and it's got to have first priority. We have, unless we spring leaks, we have until 1998 to come up with our capital investment funds for replacing tanks and lines. Still not a lot of time, but the priority is cleanup. We're concerned about how that section is written. We thought that it was going to be 90% of a certified engineer's cost estimate that would be guaranteed. It's been changed to 75%. The maximum of the loan has been lowered to $50,000. And I can only tell you that at my service station in 1978, I installed a 12,000 gallon tank along with a small pump island that cost me $85,000 for a single tank. I have a total of 7. I can tell you that not many businesses are going to be able to come up with out-of-pocket capital money for 25% of any sizable installation. And I tell you that because in the resale business, which I can address with some authority, the margin on gasoline has long since been way too low to plan on any payback of a sizable capital investment. There is no money in selling gasoline unless you're pumping huge volumes. A station of 1 million gallons a year or less is going to be very limited on how much they can invest in underground storage and piping. I think what you're going to find before this is all over, that a lot of the small pumping stations are going to clean up their sites, remove their tanks and their pumps, and get out of the gasoline business. If somebody on the highway has a little log restaurant with a gift shop and maybe a small motel and a couple of gas pumps out front. They may be pumping 150,000 gallons a year, and I can guarantee you that that person, once he's cleaned up, will not get back into the gasoline business by borrowing money to put in a tank and pump installation. It just will not be done. And I think you can expect to see that on a lot of retail sites that are pumping less than 1 million gallons a year. Therefore, we are skeptical, even though we know that in the long run, over the next 10 years, there are going to be some businesses that will need this loan guarantee. But I think we're going to find that the cost of cleanup is so humongous that if we try to include both, we're going to be draining our fund and no one is going to be helped. So I think that this committee should take a long, hard look at whether we should or should not include it. That takes us into page 6, notification and registration requirements. We agree with everything there. Page 7, registration fee. We have no qualms about the registration fee, but I am glad that on line 17B, that you did add the department may by regulation provide for exemptions from the registration fee imposed under this section, and that there are going to be some unfair penalties with this 1 cent a gallon registration fee. And I can point out one, and I've heard these statistics briefly, that possibly Alyeska Pipeline may have to spend $7.5 million a year just to register their tanks. And that, I feel, would be grossly unfair. There's got to be an exception in companies that have sizable, large storage as compared to the small underground tank owner.
What section are you referring to?
That's on page 7, line 17B, under section 4603410, registration fee. But by adding B, sir, the department may, by regulation, provide for exemptions from the registration fee. That, I think, is important that that is in there, because some people are going to have to be looked at as to having to pay excessive fees. We have no problem with the exemptions. Leading into page 8, we have no problems with any of the definitions on page 8. On page 9, underground petroleum storage tank account, we think is a very good section. We are glad, as I pointed out earlier in the bill there, that under line 17, number 1, the cost of investigations, which would be if the department came onto our site and asked us to do a site evaluation and incurred an unexpected $16,000 cost to us, that cost will be, I'm sure, included under investigation. The same with number 2. We are glad that's in there. It's important. Number 3, if you decide to keep loan guarantees in, fine. If you decide not to include loan guarantees in this bill, that would, of course, have to be eliminated. Line 28, number C, there is established in the underground petroleum storage tank account a guarantee subaccount as a reserve from fund equity before the loan guarantee is made under, and it goes on to say, I believe in that section, that we must give priority to cleanup, that we're going to have to look very close to see if we're going to have enough money to handle both. If we don't, that section then should probably come out also along with loan guarantees. On page 10, that elimination or inclusion that I just mentioned would bring us all the way down to section 8 on page 10, line 24, excuse me, line 26, is due on October 1, 1989. That meaning in section 8, notwithstanding enacted section 4 of this act, the registration required under AS 4603400 and enacted by Section 4 of this Act is due on October 1, 1989. That's pushing it back from our original intent of July 1st. However, I can assure you that if the educational portion of this bill is not effectively implemented, you are going to find a lot of small businessmen who are presently working 12, 15, 18 hours a day to put beans on the table. When you walk onto their site, they're going to say, what on earth are you talking about? And it's going to take us a bit of time to get this education around to everybody in the state, including Bush. So I would be hesitant not to think of some type of amnesty, or I wouldn't be hesitant to think of some type of amnesty for these people. I know the, what, how does it go? Ignorance of the law is no excuse, but believe me, if you're out there working 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, just trying to pay the bank payment and feed your family, you don't get much outside scoop from anybody. In fact, one of my pet sayings is, if it isn't happening on my square acre, I don't know what's going on. That leads us to page 11, section 9. I'm going to have to collect my thoughts here. That's why I marked this. Oh, yes. In section 9, even though it is addressed in the purpose, and even today as I listen to the conversation, we keep talking about leaking underground storage tanks. But we're being asked to clean up the pollution from these leaking underground storage tanks, if and when they do in fact leak. But we're also being asked to clean up all past pollution. And let me ask a question. Is there anyone in this room who has not at one time owned a lawnmower, a snow machine, an outboard motor, who has left a gasoline can in their carport or garage over the winter or over the summer, and when it comes time to get it out for the season that it serves, take it to your local service station, look at it and say, golly, that looks like spiders, and put a gallon in, rinse it out, and look around and see where you can toss it. And I can tell you where it's been tossed. It's been tossed on our site, which now we are being asked to clean up. So I think that whenever possible in this bill, surface pollution should be addressed and not merely refer to leaking tanks. Continuing on to section 9B, we think that this section is basically the meat of the bill, and it's important that it be handled with no discrimination as to who is eligible to receive these funds. It appears that there has been a well thought out sliding scale to determine how much discount, or I'm looking for the right word to use for this, amount of investigation, containment, cleanup, limit of liability imposed on each individual tank owner. We think that just because Big Oil has a lot of money, they should not be excluded from this bill. Likewise, if you're only pumping 180,000 gallons a year, I think a $5,000 limit is reasonable. But it is very important to us, the small business underground tank owners, that you do be fair and non-discriminatory in administering this section and allow all service stations, regardless of owners, to be treated with an equal basis. Coming down to line 27 on page 11, the owner reported the lease to the department before July 1, 1991. Again, you're going to have to consider a certain amount of amnesty here. Because, gentlemen, we in the industry, in the resale business, have not reported every spill that has occurred at our business. I can tell you that I have reported one large spill at my station, but spills occur daily. A customer will come in, set the automatic nozzle will shoot it out, and it's a spill, and it is reportable, and I am in criminal violation by not reporting it. But I can tell you, if each of us in the industry right now started reporting each one of our spills that occur in that manner, the department would be inundated with paperwork, and I'm afraid their new payroll would probably eat up the fund you're creating. So I believe you need to consider that and give us amnesty so that at a future date, the department can't come in, do a site analysis on us, find us either minor or major contaminated, and try to enact some type of fine because we did not report spills. It all accumulates under there. Am I going too slow, Kurt? I am almost done.
Go ahead. Okay. Finish. And Representative Davis had a question.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Go ahead. If you could go ahead and wrap it up, then I want to go out on the teleconference.
Okay. Page 12. We believe that on line 2, it's very important that number 3 read, the tank from which the release occurred, that we insert after occurred or was associated with, was registered with the department, as provided in Section 8 of this Act by, and we feel that October 1, 89 should be changed to December 1, 1989. Number 4, okay, we're asking for amnesty there also, and we're also trying to extend the period so that the educational assistant can be effectively implemented. We're going to need more time to implement that education program. Line 11 of page 12 is a very devastating paragraph, and I'll read it. Line 11, number 6. The owner lacks sufficient assets to adequately self-insure for the cost of investigation, containment, and cleanup resulting from releases of petroleum from underground storage tanks. We believe that effectively does two things. It leaves room for judicial foreclosure on our businesses and personal assets, and it will put the banks in a position that they will never free up loan money to us, even after we clean up, because anybody can come to us at a later date, and if they think we have a $100,000 net worth, we'll ask for it. That paragraph definitely has to be removed. On line 17, number 8, the petroleum release was not the result of the owner's negligence, gross negligence, recklessness, or intentional conduct. We think the word negligence should be deleted. Gross negligence should be left in. Gross negligence is identifiable. Mere negligence is not identifiable and can be left up to whims of whoever is handling the situation. That leads us into page 13. Line 3, number 4, other good causes exist to reject the request for payment. We might as well not even do the bill if we leave that line in there. It effectively cancels the entire bill. So that line should come out. Line number 7, containment and cleanup are eligible for payment under this section. We think that section should end right there. Starting with the, onto line 8, department shall be given higher priority to investigation, containment, and cleanup under this section than to loan guarantee. If the loan guarantee is not included, the last half of that sentence should be removed. If it is included, it should stay intact. Line 12, the department shall by regulation, adopt criteria that will be used for the department for determined priorities for responding to release or threatened release reported under this section. In there should be inserted, such regulations shall be pursuant to AS 4603-360B and be reviewed by an expert advisory panel. Probably the same expert advisory panel that adopts the regulations. But we feel that we should have a say in what the department is determining there. That completes, page 14 is okay, that completes all of the comments we have on the bill. Again, Mr. Chairman, on behalf of the Alaska Underground Owners and Operators Association Incorporated, I wish to thank you for your concern, and to the committee, our future is in your hands. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Weber. Representative Davis.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was looking at DEC earlier. I reported a 3-gallon spill once, and they started smirking a lot. They had to keep from laughing when I reported it back up for a while, so I did it. So. Mr. Chairman, there's a lot of people out there waiting to testify. I think I'll withhold my comments and let them testify. I'll come back when we get done.
Okay. Thank you very much. At this time, we are going to take public testimony, and we will go to Sitka. Is there someone in Sitka wanting to testify? Over.
We have only observers here, thank you.
Okay, then we will go to Fairbanks, and in Fairbanks, we have Bernie Sappi on the list. Bernie, are you there? Get through my cold here.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I am. Thank you very much. I'll try to be very brief. Gary has covered a lot of the points very adequately. I'm very pleased after several weeks of study and rewrites to see that this bill is finally starting to provide for an outright cleanup. That, to me, is the only way that this program will become politically or economically attractive. It still can be simplified and cleaned up itself. I think that we all owe Representative Menard and his staff a great deal of thanks and congratulations for the work they've done in getting at least a bill on the floor where we have something to look at and upon which we can build. First of all, I feel very strongly that all of the identifier language throughout the bill relating to the coverages and the tanks involved have to be identical to the tanks regulated and covered by the EPA underground storage tank regulations. Especially in your sections 0.360 and 0.420, all of the language there should be identical to the federal. This will provide uniformity of application of the regulations, uniformity for chain operators, for example, in field installations, uniformity of compliance, of enforcement. And from the state standpoint, it will create a great deal of administrative ease if the regs follow word for word with the federal EPA regulations. Ms. Hyman earlier reflected a little bit of confusion in the bill created by trying to adopt a lot of different regulations, different types of tanks, chemicals, above ground, the governor's bill 143, all of these things into one bill, which should only relate to the federal underground regs. The other tanks are handled in other manners, as have been alluded to by various other testifiers, not only in this bill, but in relation to HB 196 also. Other types of tanks and products are already covered by CERCLA, SPCC regs, and many others, as have been mentioned by Mr. Keeler and Ray Palmer. Second major point I have is that all the loan language and all the clauses relating to loans should be taken out of this bill. This should be will make the bill attractive to all of your affected constituencies. It will make it fair to everybody. It will avoid the lengthy and very expensive litigation that would otherwise be triggered if you try to differentiate between today's owner or last month's owner or last decade's owner. And it, especially is not required in order to treat all the regulated sites equally and fairly, regardless of the past chains of ownership. I think the deductibles are a little too high at the upper end. I think they should top out at a maximum of maybe $15,000 or $20,000 per site. You get up into beyond that, and regardless of who the operator is, you're talking bankruptcy for, say, 30 to 50% of them. And that's what I think is important for this state to avoid at this point. I think the timing of the bill is too tight, as Mr. Weber mentioned. It's going to take several years at best to even determine the extent of the problem we have. And so I think that the timing is going to have to be stretched out. I personally would suggest a cap on the trust fund, which would be used, again, only for cleanups, in the range of $5 million or so to start with, and with a low trigger of maybe $1 or $2 million. As we learn the actual extent of the problem we're facing, and as the number of certified installers becomes available, the cap and trigger could be adjusted as necessary, if necessary. But initially, there's no reason to dive in over our heads. I agree with Mr. Weber, the section relating, it's 46.03.360, paragraph D, which gives local municipalities the ability to do their own thing. That can't be the regulations to be livable for anybody, whether it's the enforcers or the installers or the investors or whoever, have to be uniform throughout the state. Otherwise, you end up with a big patchwork mess that's going to be very cumbersome and very expensive for all concerned. I disagree with Mr. Weber on the tank registration. However, it's not a big deal. In that it is not going to generate enough money to be worth arguing about, and I think it will be counterproductive in that it will cause a fair percentage of regulated tanks to remain unreported while generating no meaningful amount of revenue in relation to the total problem. With those comments, we have another gentleman here who would like to testify. Again, I thank Representative Menard for his efforts on this. I thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to testify. Be willing to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you very much, Bernie. We'll take your comments, and we will be coming back with this bill before the committee and have other opportunities. At this time, since our time is running short, we only have teleconference time for another 15 minutes. I think we will go on and take testimony. And we will be back, like I said, with this bill. So you said you have another person that's wanting to testify in Fairbanks. Over.
Yes, thank you. This is Dale Miller. I own Alaska Share right here in Fairbanks. I also wanted to thank Representative Menard in Maryland for their work in getting the bill before the House. I also, however, think that the committee may wish to consider modification of a couple of points. Specifically, extending the release reporting date beyond the July 1, 1991, and a claim acceptance provision prior to cleanup and or upgrading of facilities. The requirement to report all releases by July 1, 1991 could have problems in the following areas. One, only a limited number of certified tank installers will probably be available in the early stages of the program, making it difficult to handle a high volume of upgrades until additional installers can be certified. Two, short construction seasons in many areas will also require spreading the workload over a longer period of time. Three, full compliance
plants in the early stages will mean many tanks are going to be out of service at the same time. Cleanup and equipment upgrades will necessitate closing facilities for a period of weeks or perhaps months. The public, particularly summer tourists, may have trouble finding retail outlets that are open for business as service station operators rush to meet early deadlines. 4. Cleanup claims are to be rejected if the account lacks sufficient funds. Obviously, only a limited number of claims can be funded in the early stages of the program. 5. Underground soil testing cannot be 100% effective. In the event initial tests miss finding contaminations, the tank owner should still have eligibility for the program if subsequent testing shows contamination after July of 1991. And finally, 6. Present wording excludes coverage from the program for several reasons totally beyond the tank owner's control. Some provision must be included which will provide a determination of coverage prior to starting cleanup or upgrade. Contractors, tank installers, banks will not initiate work they know the owner cannot afford unless they know the job falls within the scope of the program. In summary, the bill is presently front-loaded with early compliance requirements for which many of the corrective measures will not yet be available. If deadlines could be time-framed over a longer period, perhaps based on the age of the tanks, a better cleanup program should result. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale. Now, they have to be reported by July of 91. They don't necessarily have to be cleaned up at that time. You understand that? Over.
Yes, I did understand they didn't have to be cleaned up yet, but I still think this deadline is going to create a rush in the early stages to initiate action and response. I don't think that we're going to be in a position to handle it that early. I think a later date would work into the program a lot better.
Okay. Thank you very much. At this time, we'll go to Matt Sue. Is there someone at Matt Sue wanting to testify? Over.
My name is Art Dravek. I'm the owner-operator of the Chicoine General Store and Sewer Station up at mile 76.5 on the highway. And I would just like to thank you, Mr. Chairman and Representative Mark, for letting me have this time to talk to you. I have just a few things that I'd like to say. One of them is the concern of the EPA regulations. The way that I read it is that it seems to me that seeing as how I'm the last guy that owns the place, that I'm responsible for all the pollution that we cause on my property since the beginning of time, whatever pollution, you know, whatever they're talking about. I own land that is under the Glen Highway, and the state and federal government has been doing Lord knows what out there since the 40s. And I just don't understand how I can be held liable for the damages that they have done on my property, either on, alongside, or under the highway. And I'd like some kind of a paragraph put in here that everybody's talking about gas and fuel oil and stuff like this, but how about all the pollutants that were dumped by Lord knows who on your property that you don't even know about? One other thing I'd like to say is I have a question about the question is not who's going to pay to have these tanks taken out. You know, whether the tanks leak or not, they're going to have to be removed within 10 years. At the present time, I would be unable to pay for this. However, if I'm forced out of business, I can't help even pay for it now or in the future. So if you can help me in any way to stay in business, I at least can help you pay for this. The majority of people involved are small businesses that I know around the highways throughout Alaska, and they will go out of business, and the state and federal government is going to have to pay the bill to have the tanks removed. And when all those little businesses close up, there's only going to be a few large retailers to pump fuel. You won't have much of a choice of where to buy it. I thank you very much.
thank you very much for your testimony. How much volume do you do in your station?
I pump about 80,000 gallons a year. My place is mostly a tourist, summer-oriented place. I get letters and photos from people all over the world telling me how nice my place is and how it was the highlight of their trip, because they didn't come here to see big fancy gas station in the middle of Anchorage. They came to see a little general store out in the middle of nowhere that's full of traps and furs and people who live in Alaskan lifestyle out on the highway, and people like that will cease to exist because there's no way that we can carry $1 million worth of insurance.
Okay, thank you very much. We hear you. Hopefully we'll be able to help you. Representative Davis?
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Chairman, I guess the question I would have, and I don't believe the attorneys all agree on this, is just who is liable. If it's the present owner, it's the person or people that own the gas station when the activity has occurred, and at some point it might be nice to clarify that to the people that are sitting in the gas station. Do you have a quick answer to that? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Kevin Keeler, DPA. At the present time, the present owner of the station is liable. That owner can, through his own means, recover costs by going through the courts at a later time. But at the present, they're responsible.
Okay. Is there anyone else at Matsu wishing to testify at this time?
I have signed up to testify. This is Chuck Steelster, Service Oil and Gas. I'll give up the mic in it's late hour in case you have others elsewhere needing to testify. If I can send you some written comments on this draft of House Bill 220.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much, Chuck. And at this time, we will go to Anchorage. And whoever is the first one to testify in Anchorage, please come up and go ahead. Over.
Chris is approaching the mic.
We can't hear you, Anchorage.
I apologize. This is the moderate. Excuse me, ma'am.
Roger, shall I go on to another site?
Yeah, that might be a good idea, Mr. Chairman, at this point.
Okay. Thank you. Is there someone in Ketchikan wanting to testify at this time? Over. How about Soldatna? Is Soldatna on the line? Over. Kodiak? Anybody in Kodiak?
This is Kodiak, and no one wishes my assistance.
Thank you. How about Sitka?
Sitka,
Yeah, this is Rick Wharton, owner and operator of Wharton's Roadside Store. I'd just like to say that basically what Gary, for the Alaska owners, underground tank owners and operators, stated is pretty much fact. We have a small station, and if we, without the help, if we're required to, even the cleanup will break us. Even the, not even, not necessarily just the cleanup, just the site testing would break us. And we're just too small to be dealing with $16,000 out of our pocket. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. At this time, let's go to Wrangell. And is there someone in Wrangell wanting to testify?
Is this Dick Ballard in Wrangell? I'm a consumer, and I'd like to testify from a consumer standpoint.
No more taxes.
I keep hearing these $100,000 costs for a small service station owner to comply with the regulations and the extreme cost of testing and all this and that. I was a concern that some of these regulations are just a duplication of federal regulations that are already in place, and it's just another layer of state regulation that is not necessary. But when you talk about $100,000 cost for a small independent operator, who's going to pay for it? Well, the end product cost is going to reflect that, and the consumer is going to pay for it. And the consumer has to be considered along the line here somewhere. You know, Congress is talking about a 25% fuel tax to raise revenues. The governor's office is talking about a 10 cents a gallon fuel tax to help on the budget shortfall. Can you people address a surcharge? Well, revenue enhancement, surcharge, tax, they're all the same. Why can't we at least be honest about it and in our bills spell it out as a tax instead of trying to hide it behind the guise of surcharge or revenue enhancement? But the end result is the consumer is going to pay the cost of this thing, and the end product cost is going to be probably what I can just estimate from here. It's going to add anywhere from 50 to 75 cents a gallon to the gasoline user, to the average consumer. And you've got to consider us too. It's just not these tank small operators that you're going to break by these onerous regulations. You're going to impact every family and every wage earner in Alaska. And the cost of living is pretty tough as it is for a family that's got four or five children, trying to put them through school, trying to build a little nest egg to send them on to college. And you're going to impact the cost of that family considerably with this kind of legislation. And I'd like to have the consumer at least be considered as part of this thing when you come up with your final deal. But I think we'd better look at overlapping state regulations on federal aid regulations that already exist. Thank you.
Yes, Richard, the figuring the average consumer at 2 cents a gallon, it would amount to about $15 to $20 a year. And I do understand that there is a consumer out there, but I think we do have a big problem. And every resident in the state of Alaska does get a permanent fund check. Also,
that operator that's going to spend $100,000 in order to keep pumping gas in my community, that cost has got to be reflected in his end product cost, and it's going to be put right on that gas at the pump when I pay for it.
Yeah, Representative Davis.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think part of what we're trying to do here is to make sure that people like in my community don't have to drive 20 miles to fill their gas, and we're trying to come up with a product that's going to do that. But well, we appreciate people who testified. It's obviously it's gonna, somebody's going to have to pay for it, and it's going to be a guy that's pulling up the gas pump. But thank you.
Thank you. At this time, we are going to have to go off the teleconference. So I'm sorry to the folks that we did not get to. If you could put your testimony in writing and mail it down to us, or at the Legislative Information Office, they can tell us it down to us. We will take your testimony in consideration. We will have the bill. Marilyn, when do we have the bill scheduled again?
Next Wednesday.
The bill will be scheduled next Wednesday, which is what, the Is it the 29th?
22nd.
The bill will be scheduled next Wednesday. I think the date is the 22nd at 3 o'clock. So thank you very much and have a good day. House Resources Committee is adjourned at 5:30.